Well, good evening and welcome, everyone, in KGNU's Opera Box, the best seat in the house. I'm Ron Nadell, and tonight my playlist highlights one of the most singular voices in opera history, Swedish soprano Birgit Nilsson. She combined the most incisive voice with great acting ability, as you can hear from her Lady Macbeth. And I'll have her in music of Wagner, Strauss, Beethoven, and Puccini. It's a drizzly evening, perfect for us to spend some time together if you join me now in the Opera Box tribute to La Nilsson. Lady Macbeth explains that anyone who desires to be king must be prepared to do evil. From Verdi's Macbeth, with Birgit Nilsson, and Thomas Schiffers conducted the orchestra of the National Academy of St. Cecilia. It's 3 minutes after the hour. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU with Ron Nadell, and I've got a playlist highlighting the powerful, dramatic soprano, Birgit Nilsson. Nilsson was born on a farm in Vastrakrupa, Sweden, and she lived from 1918 to 2005. As you heard, her forceful voice had heroic intensity with a timbre like gleaming steel. She showed talent by age 3, picking out melodies on a piano. Her father wanted her to be a farmer, but when she was heard singing in her church, she was urged to go to the Stockholm Academy and take formal lessons. She found her teachers there were arrogant and not up to the task. She deplored them. Despite formal training, she said her natural abilities made her successful. Her teachers just were not prepared for her powerful voice with laser-like accuracy, which I'm going to demonstrate now by comparing her in Brunhilde's battle cry, Heute Ho, from Wagner's Valkyrie. It contains 5 octave jumps that establish Brunhilde's invincible heroism. Listen first to the famous Hildegard Behrens from the generation after Nilsson, and then Kirsten Flagstad, who's considered one of the greatest Brunhildes, from the preceding generation, and then Birgit Nilsson.
Oh,
I think you see what I mean. Well, after her first few roles, Nilsson gained national attention with a 1947 performance as Lady Macbeth, and then internationally in a 1951 performance as Elektra in Mozart's Idomeneo. But it was Elektra, the murderous, unbalanced daughter in Richard Strauss's opera, that became one of Nilsson's signature roles. Listen to her here as the obsessed Elektra mourns her murdered father and fantasizes her bloody revenge.
Thank you.
Elektra's monologue from Strauss's opera with Birgit Nilsson, and Georg Schulte, with whom she made many of her great recordings, conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. It's all part of my program highlighting the great Swedish soprano. She was unparalleled in this role, and after one performance in Vienna, she received more than 70 curtain calls. In addition to Elektra, Nilsson became famous for embodying the roles of Salome and Wagner's heroines, Brunhilde and Isolde. Considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Wagnerian and Straussian soprano, she is the standard against which all others are compared, even today. Her voice was ideal for strong heroines, such as Leonora, Brunhilde, Isolde, and Aida, as well as icy, murderous femme fatales like Turandot and Lady Macbeth. A pinnacle of recognition comes when critics and audiences give a nickname to singers. Joan Sutherland was known as La Stupenda. Maria Callas was La Divina. Nilsson was simply La Nilsson, which she later used as the title for her autobiography. Part of the Nilsson lore was her sense of humor and rivalry with the tenor Franco Corelli. They were often paired together in Turandot and Tosca and Aida. During duets, each tried to hold their high C longer or louder than the other. During one performance of Turandot at the Met, she sang so much louder and longer. In a huff, Corelli informed the director, Rudolf Bing, that he would not sing in the last act. Well, Bing told Corelli to retaliate by biting her ear when they have their kiss in Act 3. That calmed Corelli down, but he didn't go through with it. He did tell Nilsson of Bing's advice, however, and that night, Nilsson sent a telegram to Bing informing him she could not sing tomorrow. She had contracted rabies. I've got two examples of their partnership from Puccini's Turandot and Verdi's Aida. In Turandot, the icy princess tries to intimidate the would-be lover Calaf, sung by Corelli, but the ardent Calaf will not be put off. And then in the final scene from Aida, the Egyptian general Radames and the Ethiopian slave Aida bid farewell to life as they're sealed in a tomb to die for betraying Pharaoh's daughter.
Thank you.
Aida and Radames sealed in the tomb. That's one of the great partnerships of great Birgit Nilsson and Franco Corelli, with Zubin Mehta conducting the Rome Opera Orchestra and Chorus. And before that, we heard Francesco Molinari Pradelli conducting the Rome Opera Orchestra and Chorus in Puccini's Turandot. In addition, despite their rivalry, Nilsson and Corelli did remain good friends outside of the opera stage. In addition to a great sense of humor, Nilsson was known for being very down to earth. She was very accommodating with her many fans, often socializing with them. She loved a good laugh and was an astute businesswoman, too. Asked if Nilsson was difficult to work with, Rudolf Bing said, "Not at all. Put enough money in and a glorious voice comes out." She was the highest paid singer at the Met. She was clear-eyed about the limits of her voice, admitting that her voice lacked warmth. And although she was an international superstar, she didn't take herself too seriously. In 1960, Decca Records made a special recording of Johann Strauss's Die Fledermaus. In that recording, there is a gala party scene, and they invited several artists to come sing cameo arias to give the recording a real sense of a luxurious dinner party. When Nilsson was asked to contribute, she agreed only if she could sing her favorite song. That was Birgit Nilsson with Herbert von Karajan conducting the Vienna Philharmonic in a recording of Die Fledermaus. Well, Nilsson could indeed be the life of the party, and she knew how to have fun. But what she did best was imbue her characters with a sense of strength and noble humanity. An example is Leonora in Beethoven's Fidelio. Fidelio plots to rescue her imprisoned husband, and she hopes her nerve won't fail her when the time comes. Come Hope. Leonora hopes that she won't lose her nerve when the time comes to rescue her imprisoned husband from Beethoven's Fidelio, with Lauren Mazel conducting the Vienna Philharmonic as part of my program, highlighting the great voice of Birgit Nilsson. Nilsson was fond of saying that Isolde made her famous, but Turandot made her wealthy. Wagner's opera Tristan and Isolde not only challenges a singer's power, but also their stamina. Isolde's moving aria, the Liebestod, Love's Death, comes at the end of 4 hours of singing. Here is Nilsson in a live recording, still soaring above the huge orchestra.
Thank you.
The Liebestod, Love's Death, from Wagner's Tristan und Isolde, with Birgit Nilsson as Isolde and Carl Böhm conducting the Bayreuth Festival Orchestra in a live recording. When Nilsson was asked how she could sing for 4 hours, she said her secret was, you gotta wear comfortable shoes. She planned on retiring at 60, but she was coaxed by Carl Böhm and James Levine to try some new roles, and she ultimately did. She had many great partnerships, including Wolfgang Wingassen in Wagner operas and Jussi Björling in the Italian operas. She retired in 1984 at 66 after singing for almost 40 years. She returned to her childhood home, remained active, giving lessons to aspiring singers. She wrote her autobiography, La Nilsson, in 1995. In 2001, the Met honored James Levine for his 25th anniversary as director. Nilsson was one of many singers who came to pay tribute. At the end of her tribute, she showed she could still sing Brunhilde's Battle Cry at 83.
On an occasion like this, if it would have been in Sweden, we would all have saluted you with a 4 times hooray. But since I am a daughter of the Vikings, I am used to do it my way.
Birgit Nilsson at 83. Well, Nilsson died on Christmas Day in 2005 at the age of 87 with her husband at her side. I'm going to conclude tonight's tribute to Birgit Nilsson with her Brunhilde from The Twilight of the Gods. That's the fourth opera in Wagner's four opera cycle, The Nibelung's Ring. Brunhilde is really the heroine of the entire cycle. The cycle ends when Brunhilde saves the world, returning the all-powerful ring to the Rhine River. She learned love is greater than power and rides her horse into a funeral pyre. This is from the great Decca ring cycle conducted by Georg Scholte with the Vienna Philharmonic. Brunhilde returns the ring to the Rhine River, and love redeems the world. Brunhilde's immolation from the end of Götterdämmerung, The Twilight of the Gods, the fourth opera in Richard Wagner's four-opera ring cycle, The Nibelung's Ring, with the great Birgit Nilsson and Georg Schulte conducting the Vienna Philharmonic. This is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you all for joining me in the Opera Box for this evening's highlight of La Nilsson, Birgit Nilsson. Stay tuned now for A Classic Monday and your host, Gary McBride.
A really easy way to support this station is to donate a car you don't need anymore. It's free to you and could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Learn more at kgnu.org.
This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Up next, A Classic Monday.
Spring is here, but if your car is still stuck in winter weather, consider donating it. We'll turn that four-wheeled iceberg into more hours of your favorite programming. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or visit kgnu.org to get started.
Hey, what's up, Dane? Have you heard about KGNU's Youth Podcasting Summer Workshop?
No, I haven't. What is it?
It's a half-day summer camp. There will be sessions from June 20th to the 24th and July 11th to the 15th.
Will I get to use a microphone and be in the studio and stuff?
Yeah, you'll learn how to be a producer for community radio.
So where do I find more information about this?
Email me, that's martin at kgnu.org, or you can go to the website, kgnu.org.
Good evening and welcome to A Classic Monday. My name's Gary McBride and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Tonight, music by Adolphus Hailstork, Francesco Bailila Pratella, Charles Griffiths, Eino Juhani Rautavaara, and William Alwyn. And to begin, a violin concerto composed by the Guadeloupean Creole violinist, conductor, and renowned champion fencer, Joseph Bologna Chevalier de Saint-Georges. It was published in Paris in 1777 as one of a set of two concerti at a time when Chevalier de Saint-Georges was the conductor of the leading symphony orchestra in Paris. Enjoy. Thank you.